we're doing is we've just released the record on the 26th, just a few days ago. And the plan is, of course, to tour everywhere we can. We've got agents and managers working on it right now. As far as our tour schedule, I can say that in March we're doing a few shows with Duff's band Loaded, but that's not until March, and that's in that's in Tokyo, Japan. So the rest we'll just have to announce as we can.
Okay. How would you describe like the feeling of the album, like how you felt the first time you listened to the album full through?
Well, speaking of crying, I admit I actually did cry a little bit because I was like, I'm so happy about this record. I was so satisfied. You know, everybody goes in recording a record and they hope that it turns out as good as they imagined. I couldn't have imagined it coming out better. And as far as the sound, we really, I know it's a cliche, but we really wrote the record that we wanted to listen to. A lot of bands, especially nowadays, not so much in earlier years, but a lot of bands will find that one song that kind of defines their sound, and they'll just formulate it so much that the whole entire record sounds like one long song. We were all very adamant that we wanted each song to have its own personality and feel and tempo, and so when you listen to the record, we wanted to take you through different emotions, and I think we accomplished that.
I think it's fair to say that every song almost has some, even some changes in emotions. Like your title track, Back from the Dead, has that neat little intro and then a couple of interesting breakdowns. Can you just explain the creative influences behind that song, how it came together?
Well, that particular song was, I think, the very last song that we wrote, coincidentally enough. When we finished the record, we all sat around and said, you know, this is a great record, but we need one of those quote-unquote barn burners, you know, something that really just kicked ass. And so immediately Jacob and I started throwing ideas at the table. In Back from the Dead, music-wise, I know it was a combination of about three different songs that we wrote, and we just took the best of each part. And I know that Pilsen also helped write that song. Jacob was out of town, so him and I put the basics down as far as the structure of the song, and then when Jacob got into town, Jacob said, oh, that's great, let me add some lyric changes here, arrangement changes here, and it was Jacob's idea to put that that intro. He said, you know, it has to really, this would really make it set off if we did this really laid back, almost country feel at the beginning. And Jacob actually grabbed a mandolin off of Jeff's wall. He has a mandolin in his studio for some reason, and Jacob said, let's try this, and there's actually a mandolin at the beginning of that song. Mm-hmm.
So what is it like working with Steven Adler? I mean, I interviewed him about 2 years ago, and he was just a blast. Like, I didn't want the interview to end. So what is it like to work with him every day?
Oh, I love Steven. He's my best friend. I love working with him. He's real open. He's always a barrel full of laughs, so there's never any sadness. There's never any down moments, because even when we're mad at each other, it's all in good fun and we joke around. And he's got a great feel. It's quite magical. Again, it's kind of a cheesy word, but it's quite magical when he lands in that pocket in the studio. I know we did several takes on all the songs, and when he got in that zone, Jeff Pilsen, Jacob, and me, we would all look at each other and we'd go, yep, he's in the zone. And that's the magic that, you know, that Appetite had. And we just knew it was right. So, very exciting.
How do you want this album to ultimately be remembered? How do you want people to look back a couple of years from now and say, Back from the Dead, that was...
Well, that's a hard question to answer because everybody wants their record to be the next Appetite or the next Thriller. You know, everybody wants that grandness. We would just like for people to look back at the record and say that was a great record.
Okay, well, who are some of your influences on the guitar?
Oh, I guess my early influences were like Randy Rhoads, Mick Mars. What attracted me to music to begin with were a lot of those hair band 80s bands, like The Poisons, and like I said, Motley Crue, and Judas Priest, and all those just the crunchy guitars, kind of fast noodling. Even though I'm not necessarily that kind of player, but that's what really got me into music. I just wanted to do what they were doing, whatever that was, you know?
Considering that, who are some of your guilty pleasure favorites that people wouldn't expect?
Oh, I'm a big fan of Pink's. I love Pink's voice. I love her songs. That's definitely a guilty pleasure that people might not expect. But I think she's a great performer. I'm a big fan of pop music, period. And I even like Sinatra. When we have dinners over here at the house, I listen to Sinatra, Dean Martin, that kind of thing. I'm just a big fan of music. And like we were talking earlier, every song has it puts an emotion. It sets off an emotion. And like I said, when we have dinner, that sets off a real peaceful feeling when I'm eating. I like to just mellow out and listen to the Sinatras and the Dean Martins.
What do you think your future is going to be besides, like, you know, this tour? What are you guys looking forward to doing as a band?
Well, of course, we want to do more recording. We can't wait to get back in the studio. In fact, we're going back in December. We're just doing a song or two, simply not necessarily to work on the next record, but just simply because we're all available. Jacob's going to be in town. Our singer lives in Alabama, so he's going to be in L.A., and Jeff Pilson's available, and we just had so much fun the first time around. We just want to get back together, and we've got more tunes than we know what to do with, and I think we've narrowed it down to one that we're going to start working on. So, yeah, just a lot more recording, touring. We love touring. We love being on the road. We love each other, so we just like hanging.
What do you think you learned during the recording of this album that you can take and use in the future?
Well, what I learned, I suppose, is you have to be open for ideas. You have to be open for changes. Anytime you bring an idea to the table, you absolutely have to be open for other people to put their input in, because every change that, even if I brought in a full song that was completely written and I was excited and happy about, and so were others, they still, the ideas that others brought to the table, they always improved the song. So that's one thing that I definitely learned: be completely open-minded, because people around you, if you surround yourself with the right people, they just want to make your project better, your art better, you know?
We've all been in this situation once or twice in our lives, maybe even more, depending on how much music we have on our computer. But we're on iTunes and we're thinking about buying something, and we kind of scroll over and we're about to click it and we decide not to. And then we move the cursor away and then we move it back and we're just arguing with ourselves. I want to buy this. I don't want to buy this. So you're behind someone that's right there about to buy this album and they're kind of on the fence. How do you sell them and get them to click that button?
Oh, that's a great question. Oh, I don't know. God, I don't know. That's such a great question. It really makes me think. I'll think of a great answer tonight when I'm laying in bed. I don't know. Just, I guess, take a chance. You won't regret it, kind of thing. I don't know.
Okay. Considering the fact, we discussed this briefly before, how a lot of bands try and make that one song that everyone's going to download, but they do that for a reason, because a lot of people don't really, or they try and replicate the same sound throughout an entire album, but they do that because people don't necessarily, you know, go for the whole album experience anymore with digital downloads. People kind of like cherry pick and they'll take a song or two instead of the whole album. If you had to pick one or two songs off of this album that you felt were really indicative of what the band stood for, which ones would you pick and why?
That's another great question. And unfortunately, you're right, a lot of bands do just follow that formula, and a lot of people don't write records anymore, which is precisely why, you know, we went through it before where we wanted every song to sound different. But to answer your question, that's hard. We released The One That You Hated first simply because we wanted to grab, you know, we had a lot of really catchy commercial, at a very commercial value, had very catchy chorus. So that's what we wanted. If we wanted to bring everybody in with the melodies. But I don't know that that defines the whole record, as I'm sure you would agree, mm-hmm. if you listen to the whole record.
Yes.
And then the second one that we released was Good to Be Bad. And again, that's so different. I don't think there is one song that can define the whole record, just because all the songs are so different.